Welcome to BDO To Go, casual industry conversation brought to you by the restaurant industry professionals at BDO. The constantly evolving landscape of the industry forces operators and owners to adapt quickly and maintain a keen awareness of consumer and economic shifts. Understanding these business impacts and insights is key to the continued success and resilience of the restaurant industry. That's why we crafted our BDO To Go podcast series, a monthly podcast that you can take to go.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today for another episode of BDO To Go, our podcast dedicated to exploring industry trends, best practices, and all things restaurant. My name is Meg Potts, co-lead of BDO's National Restaurant Industry Group. Right now, it's difficult to read or listen to the news without hearing about a new technology or AI application. And on today's episode, we will explore technology trends and the impact on the restaurant industry. We're fortunate to be joined by Toby Malbeck, Managing Director of Constrata Consulting. In that capacity, Toby manages the day-to-day operations for Constrata. He works with clients to develop a comprehensive technology strategy to support their operational goals and leverage their technology investments to bring impactful results to their business's operations. Toby is an operational technologist with over 30 years of technical and operational expertise. With stints in hospitality, food service, and retail, he brings balanced knowledge of business operations and system requirements, ensuring the best possible solutions are provided to his clients. Hi, Toby. I love the term operational technologist, especially since it feels like everything accounting, finance, and technology related should always be focused on helping and supporting the operations.
People get lost with that. For some reason, the technology folks tend to come in and have a solution without even knowing what the problem is to begin with. So I'm very blessed that I started my experience, my work in the operation. So I started in the hotel business. I started in the restaurant business. And once you understand the challenges that you face, then you can go find a solution for it. But to try to do it the other way around is very, very difficult. And I'm always challenged when we work with a CIO who comes from another industry, because they're at a distinct disadvantage, not really understanding that restaurants are by nature almost a 24-hour business. Even if you're not open 24 hours, there's constantly things going on. Hotels the same way, you know, which are a 24-hour business. So yes, I pride myself on not only understanding, but having great empathy for the operational aspects of the restaurant and hotel industry, because that's really what you need to do to be able to develop a very strong technology strategy.
Absolutely. I mean, there are so many ways that technology and systems can make or break the restaurant operations, not only the whole operations, but also the team, with the number of changes that are happening on a regular basis. And then, of course, the impact that it can have on the guest experience from the time that they either get on their phone or walk in the door. Technology is definitely having that sort of impact on them.
And I think consumer technology is pushing that as well. We expect a certain level of technology. We all go home, we have cell phones, we've got Bluetooth speakers, we've got, you know, TVs at home, high definition televisions. And then when we go out to eat or we go stay in a hotel, it's our expectation that those same levels of luxury, if you will be met. So if all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I can't order my food online, or oh my gosh, I can't pick it up whenever I want or wherever I want, then all of a sudden we're disappointing our customers. So the consumer of technology has really pushed the envelope for restaurants and hotels. And at times that makes it very challenging for them, because as I'm sure we'll talk about, and BDO probably speaks to all the time, the margins in the restaurant industry are very challenging. So whereas a retail organization may be able to invest millions in their technology and even write off millions in technology mistakes, restaurants have to play it very tight and, you know, tight to the vest, because a single mistake like that could mean the profit for the entire year.
Absolutely. And, you know, all of that kind of starts with the point of sale system, which some have called the heartbeat of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's definitely come a very long way. And historically, it was simply more of an input system or aggregator. But now, with all of the different technologies and the upgrades, it's definitely changing. So, Toby, do you think that there are any key elements that are table stakes now, or that a POS must include to even be considered in the conversation?
Well, it's funny you say that, Meg. I mean, we started with POS systems being basically effectively cash registers. They were a calculator with a cash drawer on it, and have evolved to the point now where they are, as you said, really the transaction engine in the restaurant. And they've evolved to the point of being a very strong data capture mechanism with integration to third-party deliveries like the Grubhubs and the DoorDashes of the world. Everything comes through, you know, that tunnel, which is the point of sale system. So it is creating most of the transactions that occur in a restaurant. Now, some people will say, well, it's no longer really a point of sale system. It's now a transaction engine. Well, I don't care semantically what you call it. It's the tip of the spear. It's where all of the data is coming in from and is then being processed through either some form of a back office system or affecting your numbers or showing you what your sales per labor hour is or what your food costs are, your top sellers. It allows you to do menu analysis. So it is the point of capture of all of your transactions. And to your point, people should be looking at a number of different things. If I'm a standalone restaurant, where that data resides isn't as important. If I'm in my restaurant every day and I'm running it on a computer, the fact that data is right there in my restaurant might give me some good feeling that it's not being shared with the internet and all of that. But if I'm in a chain operation, I have four or five restaurants, I'm going to be wanting to look at some form of web-based data storage. So whether that's a web-based point of sale system where that data is stored natively on the internet or in the cloud, or some way that it's moved up on a real-time basis. So as I'm traveling around, I can see how my sales are doing. I can see we just took a very strange refund somewhere else, or I just took a $500 bill at one of the restaurants. I better call them, let them know we don't want to do that. All those types of things. So it has evolved to the point where architecture and the way the systems are designed is very much geared to the type of business that you have and what you want to get out of it.
So it's kind of like starting with the end in mind when you go into the POS. And if
we
you
talk
do
about
need to
that
make
all
a change,
the time. All the yes. time we talk about what do you want to get and then work mm-hmm. your way backwards. So even things like if I'm starting a restaurant and we say, what's important to you? How do you measure success? What does success look like for you? And if a person says it's double digit growth, okay. So how do you measure that? What are your key performance indicators or KPIs? And then you work exactly as you said, backwards to the point where you actually select your system so that they work harmoniously together. Can you pick one particular vendor who you're comfortable with, who can provide you a number of these things, because the last thing as a restaurant operator you want to do is be in the IT business. You're in the restaurant business. So as much as you can disaggregate that need to be a IT integrator, the better.
And then setting yourself up for success as you continue to grow. You know, sometimes we talk to groups that say, well, we're not ready to use our data to the extent of its ability yet. We don't have that in place. We're just trying to get our operations and become profitable. So it's always encouraging them to set it up that it is available for you when you are ready to use it. Mm-hmm. And you do have those levers to pull then to effectively impact your bottom line.
Right. Always think forward. Think ahead. Where do you believe you're going? And if the reality is you really don't ever intend to be more than a single unit restaurant, then think that way. But if your aspirations are to expand through franchising or through organic growth, then recognize that, much like the analogy, a baseball team doesn't win the pennant in April or May, but they can lose it in April or May. And your technology works the same way. It's very easy to make a mistake early on that you will rue later on because all of a sudden you don't have access to that data or you haven't built yourself a platform that's scalable. And think of it like a house. I mean, architecturally speaking, when you lay the foundation in that house and then all of a sudden you decide, hey, maybe we ought to put in a bowling alley, and all of a sudden there's no place to put it. You put yourself in, you really back yourself into a corner. And technology is the same way. Think ahead and scale for the future.
So when we think about those larger groups and trying to capture and utilize as much information that you have as your fingertips, you naturally start to think about loyalty mm-hmm. and really understanding who our guest is. It's like table stakes now to at least understand who our members are and what they're buying and how often they're coming. But it's becoming so much more. And often I see that those don't integrate as well to the point of sale system. Mm-hmm. Do you find that they're starting to make that a little bit easier to bring in loyalty type of information?
We are finding that. And I would even argue that loyalty is morphing into more of a recognition than a loyalty system. Loyalty, in many cases, denotes this idea that we teach bad behavior to our customers. It says, we're going to give you something, you know, we're going to get you into this pattern. You buy three, you get one. You buy three, you get one. And it does really teach, in many cases, bad behavior. Whereas recognition says, I learn about each person in some way, and I make that experience special for you. So Meg Potts might come in every day with her kids, and I know that. And I know that every day Meg orders this particular item. So maybe the next time she comes in, I'm going to suggest something, you know, above the menu that might be even more appealing to her. Or I know that she normally comes in on Mondays and Wednesdays because that's soccer night. So maybe I make her an offer for Tuesdays or Thursdays so that I could extend the experience. Now I'm doing one-to-one specialization, not just getting them in this hamster wheel type of approach of loyalty. And more of these point of sale systems are open to getting this information from either a third party CRM or a loyalty system, as they call them, or potentially even have some of them have loyalty built into them these days. Some point of sale systems provide that capability. But I think that organizations that look at loyalty as just giving stuff away are apt to lose their customers because their customers aren't loyal to them. They're loyal to an offer. And so once a person falls in love with your brand and becomes fanatical about your brand, you have them for life.
Yeah, and that really goes to a few different areas there, because first of all, you're touching the guest when they walk in and you're trying to provide the operations team with the right information to personalize their experience when they approach the register or they sit down at a table. But then on the other side, you're also doing the online marketing aspect to let the guests know that you have this opportunity or this have this offer that's specific and personalized for them, utilizing the data that's at their fingertips.
I tell you, Meg, one of the greatest opportunities that goes lost in many quick service restaurants is the drive-thru. The drive-thru gives such an unbelievable opportunity to personalize the experience for you because you are the only car in front of it. And so using things like location-based services or geolocation, I can often tell who the car is in front of the actual drive-thru. So it can say, welcome, Toby, welcome back. Here are your last three orders. Here are the number of points you have. Would you like to redeem them? By the way, we just introduced a new burger that seems to go with your profile, and I know you're allergic to peanuts, so there are no peanuts in it. All of a sudden, it becomes the Toby menu board and not the Meg menu board or the Melody menu board. It becomes personalized to me, and as I drive away feeling like, wow, these guys really know me, Meg pulls in behind me, and it becomes the Meg menu board.
I feel like that could also be married up with online ordering as well, or your app-based ordering.
Absolutely.
You know, every time I open an app on my phone to order, it automatically would tailor to me saying, you ordered this last time. Would you like to order this instead? And have you ever thought about adding on one of these items? I mean, I know I receive those type of targets in some of my orders right now.
Absolutely. And we get a lot of those types of suggestive functionality items from the retail industry has been doing it for years. The grocery industry especially has been doing that kind of suggestive or upsell or moving you up basket for a long time. And the restaurant industry, as we were talking about before, just based on the amount of investment money we can put in the restaurant industry, a technology has to be not only pretty mainstream, but pretty battle-tested before it comes into what is a pretty harsh environment, which is the restaurant industry.
So now that we've talked about kind of leveraging all the robust data for the sales portion, it comes to kind of using it for the improving operations. POS is obviously just one component of an increasingly complicated technology stack for our restaurants. And we just talked about a few different add-on systems that could be flowing into the POS. And then, of course, there's the back-of-house system that you mentioned or your inventory management software. How are those changing right now?
Well, it was fascinating that during COVID, everybody really jumped on the, we have to figure out ways, more channels to produce revenue. So you saw the growth of things like, you know, ghost kitchens and virtual restaurants, as well as a lot of functionality on the point of sale to try to reach the customer where they were. After COVID, when we ran into challenges around labor and challenges around supply chain, all of a sudden people were interested in cost of goods sold and you know, sales per labor hour. And we saw more and more organizations really embrace inventory management and labor scheduling. You know, obviously, labor scheduling is a major challenge now in some of the Western states where the minimum wage has increased and is continuing to increase, and we have to be smarter about our labor dollars. But we also have to be very sensitive about things like the labor laws. The labor laws vary so tremendously as you go state to state, sometimes even county by county. So we have found that organizations, especially as they get larger and have a larger employee footprint, are having to pay a lot more attention to labor scheduling systems and inventory systems, because while it's great to generate revenue, it's even better to make money. And so we have to really watch our costs as it relates to inventory and inventory turn and waste, obviously shrinkage and other types of things that a very good inventory system can control, and as well as our labor hours, which is what an inventory management system can help us with.
Yeah, it's all about finding ways to control the costs, especially with the continued discussion around the CPI index and the price increases for food away from home or restaurants continuing to outpace food at home or the grocery prices. So there's a lot of pressure within the restaurant to not only control their prices, but then also try to control their costs as well. So are you seeing robotics come into play a little bit more within the back of house?
We're seeing some early experimentation with robotics. I think the challenge today is that the juice isn't quite worth the squeeze yet. The costs are still quite high. Robotics tend to be very, limited in terms of their scope. Everything has to really be perfectly aligned. I mean, if all of a sudden the plate is an inch over or the cup didn't drop exactly in the right spot. So you're seeing them in very controlled environments. So for instance, San Francisco Airport or in streets of Toronto, you'll find an automated coffee machine where, you know, you'll see it drop the cup and pour the coffee. And it's still quite a novelty. And there are some brands out there that are testing and having some success with topping a pizza or as I said, making coffee or perhaps even bussing tables. You've seen some of that going on, or delivering cocktails in a catering environment, things like that. But the price points are still quite high. There's a fair amount of customization. So, for instance, it's not like putting a Roomba out to go vacuum your house to put one of these robotics to bus tables. It has to have a very clear mapping of what's where and how. And God forbid you move a table and it just throws them off. So it's in a very early adoption of that. And like most technologies within the restaurant industry, it will cut its teeth somewhere else and it will become more pervasive, whether that's the hotel industry or in some other in manufacturing environment where they will become commoditized and more hardened. And then once the price point comes down and they're more reliable, we will see them become more prevalent in the restaurant industry.
And do you think this is like a natural lead into a virtual reality or augmented reality situation?
Yeah, at least with training? The same thing. We're seeing the same thing there. Exactly, Meg. We're seeing that. In fact, I was just reading something earlier today where in a 2022 report, Forrester was saying that by 2025, 14 million employees will actually use AR smart glasses in their daily work life. So it's absolutely coming. We see it being used in manufacturing, in the medical training industry, field service staff. That's probably an area we'll see it happen as more and more technologies, you know, when a restaurant has a problem with their network or other issues, we'll probably see field service use AR. Or even training for what they call high-risk scenarios, you know, disaster management, fire, rioting, things like that. We're seeing AR being used. It will be prevalent in our industry just because of the nature of training and the fact that it takes so long for us to train somebody and they stay for so short a period of time. And unfortunately, historically, the restaurant industry is not exactly a poster child for great training. We're great with on-the-job training, which means follow me around and pick up what I'm doing and try to do it right, you know, for the first time. But that's just not scalable by any stretch of the imagination. And as organizations become more people-centric and guest service-centric, the idea that we can perfect our training through AR and just overall create a better experience for our customers, I think you're going to see AR be extended into the restaurant industry. I would say that one's probably sooner rather than later.
Yeah, especially on that training side. I mean, the cost of turnover alone, when you talk about controlling your costs and driving profit margin, that it's not only on the employee payroll side, but it's also on how it can impact the guests when they come mm-hmm. through as well.
It's fascinating, even in things like exit surveys, where you see that many employees leave because they don't believe they were ever properly trained. It's become very much an employee-friendly culture today. And so we need to make every effort to make the restaurant industry not a pass-through industry, but a stopping in industry. We need to build our staff. When you see that, when you review a resume and everybody who out there is a banker, a lawyer, a doctor started in the restaurant industry, you ask yourself, why did we lose them? And the answer is because we didn't have enough, good things to keep them, whether that's advancement or training, or we didn't have a good story to tell. And the restaurant industry needs to retain good talent to be productive in the years to come.
So we touched on a lot of different areas of technology right now. If you had to pick one that you think most restaurants should focus on right now, is there one area that you think is most important?
Where I think data is going to be king. I think that a lot of people will tell you today data is king, but a lot of people are not leveraging their data. So I think as we move forward, we're going to see a migration from where we are today, which is somewhere between predictive and prescriptive analytics, which says, if the thought process is, if it's raining, you need an umbrella, all the way to if it's raining, you may need an umbrella, and you might not do that chore that you're going to do today because it's going to be nicer tomorrow. You can do it tomorrow. So it's a natural progression from analytics to what we're now calling artificial intelligence. And we're starting to see AI creep into a lot of restaurant technology. We see it in other brands. We see it in other places. Obviously, ChatGPT, people know it very, very well. But AI is going to help the restaurant industry to be able to deal with a lot of the guest recognition type of approach we're talking about. We see it used in hotels today as like an automated attendant. So the for instance I heard last year at a conference was a person can call up on the phone and a very pleasant voice will say, yes, this is the attendant. How may I help you? And the analogy they gave was the person said, I'm going to be playing a round of golf today. Can I bring my Tesla? Now, to you and me, we know what a round of golf means. We know what a Tesla is. But artificial intelligence has to say, okay, Tesla, first of all, that's an automobile. But more importantly, it's an electric automobile. And now AI has to be able to deduce that what you're asking is, can I park somewhere and recharge my car? And so now all of a sudden the system will say, yes, actually, Ms. Potts, there is three charging stations at the 11th hole of such and such a station. Would you like me to reserve one for you? And that's the practical application for AI. And we're seeing that use today. And I think it's only going to increase in the future.
I agree. And I love that you brought in the data aspect, because I'm sure that you know I love data. So everything that we can do to help our restaurant teams get a hold of their information in a more streamlined manner. And I really believe that all of this is pushing us more away from standardized dashboards to more personalized key alerts that you need to know at the moment that you need to know it. So I think that that's one of the key areas that technology can continue to help us, including AI. And systems are obviously rapidly changing, and it's obviously important to sit down and map out a data and technology strategy before you just plow ahead and start bolting on technology solutions in order to grow.
Absolutely. And it's funny, because when we get involved with a client, the first thing we always ask is, what are the goals of the operation, the organization? Where's your growth? How do you plan to grow? Are you going to grow organically through franchising, internationally, and so on? Because all of those things will dictate what that technology strategy looks like. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's how you measure your business, how you define success, and kind of like a board game, right? How do I win? You have to define success as you get started. And as we said before, it really is about building a plan that can be executed that supports the initiatives within the organization and the people within it.
Well, Toby, I know there are many other technology trends and impacts to explore for the restaurant industry. Obviously, we can't touch on all of them today, but I thank you for joining me to start this initial conversation. I really enjoyed our conversation.
It's been a pleasure, Megan. I have to say, I had the opportunity to visit your BDO boot camp this year, and I was really blown away by the quality of not only the people there, but the other attendees and the level of content there. So keep up the good work.
Oh, well, thank you. We were glad to have you there, and we hope you can join us in the future. So to all you listening, thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this episode focused on technology trends and the impact on the restaurant industry. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. We invite you to subscribe to the BDO To Go podcast, and we'd love to have you join us on our next episode. Have a great day and enjoy a meal at a restaurant.
Thank you for listening to BDO To Go. Past episodes and related insights are available at bdo.com/BDO To Go. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify to rate, review, share, or subscribe to this podcast. The views expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect the views of BDO. For more information on BDO's restaurant industry practice and the resources we provide, visit www.bdo.com/restaurants.